Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is the Thunder and Lightning Superior Catfish Tour. We are live here in Flowood at the Fan and Mark. This is our third stop on the tour. Robbie Falk here with me. And, of course, you know, legend is a word that gets thrown around a lot these days. But okay. I'll give it to you. Okay. I'll give it to you. Riley Self, former Diamond Dog here. You have a great legacy at Mississippi State as an athlete. But your greatest legacy is you created Dogs Win Again.
Yeah, and probably rich off of that now, aren't you? The royalties
surely
are probably.
Bossy Oak is paying you per shirt on
this. Man, it's that was the tough situation coming out of it because I did it during the last year, so technically NIL wasn't a thing yet.
If it had been, you'd be rolling right now. You'd be retired.
I mean, I'd be sitting on a beach right now. But no, it was weird how it happened because I didn't expect it to blow up like that. But the more it happened and the more it was said, I was like, man, this is actually taking over.
It's going
Mississippi State athletics as a whole. Like, yeah, other teams started using it, and that's when it was really, like, surreal to me about what it actually meant to the school. Mm-hmm. And I talked to some people about it, but at that point in time, technically it wasn't legal to make money as a college athlete. So if they would have gave me one more year, man, I would have.
Surely with COVID and the injuries, you had some eligibility laying around somewhere.
Somewhere, right? Somewhere. Yeah. That's what I mean, out of the – I don't know. You could probably still go find comments about it, but it's like, how is this man in his 15th year of college baseball right now?
Well, I mean, that's true for everybody these days.
Oh, man. You're looking at guys with doctorates. Ninth year seniors, and it's like, man, you got a retirement plan set up. You got kids at home.
Yeah.
You're out here playing
college
19-year-olds.
Baseball.
Yeah.
So where did that transpire, the Dogs Win Again thing? Where did that come from? I know you guys are probably talking about it in the clubhouse or something.
I'm going to be honest with you. It just came right off the top of the head. During COVID, you know, we were trying to find anything to just pass the time and have some fun. And when that happened, with all of everything that was going on in the college athletics world, was, man, we're just trying to make it to the next day.
Yeah.
And see another game.
Yep.
So it kind of just came up, ran up to the camera, and it was one of those things that just kind of happened. And after, I don't think it was an immediate reaction that everybody's going to be. But eventually it started, and then the whole team got on board, and it was uphill from there with that.
You played in what might be the best era of Mississippi State baseball. You know, four straight super regionals, maybe five straight. I don't know how many years you were eligible.
It was up there.
And then, you know, three trips to the College World Series, played with a ton of great players. It's got to be almost impossible to pick a moment, right?
Oh, man. But between all of the appearances and all of, especially the guys that I played with, picking one experience probably wouldn't do any of them justice either, in terms of what it really meant in the moment. But yeah, like you said, I mean, all the super regional trips, all the Omaha trips, it's kind of hard to narrow it down to one. But I don't know. For me, the feeling of Mississippi State baseball had to be, what was it? Yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of it, of Tanner getting that walk-off hit, mm-hmm, against Texas. And me, him, and Braylon Skinner were as tight as you could be, as teammates and as boys off the field. I mean, me and Tanner lived 200 yards from each other, so we were always all together. To have Braylon at first, for me to look at him and say, you got to get this bag right here. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no other option. You have to steal this bag. Does it, and then Tanner next swing hits the walk-off. To have all three of us kind of right there in the moment, and then me being the first one to make it to Tanner, and that was probably the most surreal Mississippi State baseball moment for me. And secondly, him headbutting me in the mouth as soon as I got to him, that was probably one of the things we talk about now every time we tell that story was I got to him and grabbed him by his head, and for some reason his next move was head straight to my mouth. But
bust you open?
A little bit. There was a little blood.
That's all right. Got a little color.
Yeah. Hey, man. Nothing that that 15-minute celebration after that game didn't finish. You know?
You're probably numb at that point.
But, nah, man, that moment right there could probably take the cake for a lot of people who are watching Michigan State sports. But
no doubt.
Just seeing that happen and knowing where that was going to take us and knowing that we had been there three times already, we hadn't got the job done. I even go back to 2007 when I was in Omaha watching State play, and then 2013 watching it happen again. To get that hit to lead us to where I knew we were going to go, I think growing up a Mississippi State fan was probably icing on the cake for me.
That kind of exemplifies, too, that team, because if you look at that team, I can go through the entire roster, and even you, I mean, you're coaching first base, like you said, and all that stuff. I can go through the entire roster, and I can point to a person that helped the team win at some point along the way. And you think about that, you know, Tanner Leggett had, I think at one point, was starting and came out and was basically a reserve, and Braylon was kind of the same way, and nobody ever really pouted, nobody really ever, you know, complained.
Right.
They were just ready for their moment. And right there, I mean, that was literally your bench coming through for you to get you to the national championship. What was it like in that locker room that season? And did you kind of sense, you know, even from the beginning, that team had the ability to win a national championship?
You know, you always go into it having that thought that any, you know, our team is going to win it. But, you know, something different about the relationships, because even that year in the locker room, you had to be separated. So some of our freshmen and newcomers weren't in the locker room with us. So you had to try extra hard to form those relationships. And I think, honestly, that might have got us closer, because it forced us, hey, you got to go talk to these guys, or you got to come close with those guys. So it turned into people wanting to know people rather than, oh, this is the guy next to you. You gotta get to know him like that. And I even take it back to the 2018 team in the sense of that, where it started out, obviously that year was a rocky road.
Yeah.
But just to start out that year, we weren't really on a team dynamic. And if you go back and look at the track record, we weren't a very good team to start the year. And finally it came to the point like, man, look at our record. We are where we are right now. Why not just go out and have fun and just leave it all out there? And then you turn around and we're in Omaha that year.
Yeah.
So it's a very fine line of getting to know your boys and having that fun and being able to turn it on when you cross those lines.
I don't think enough people talk about your freshman team, the 2017 team, because that is a team that squeezed every ounce that it had to get to where it ended up in the Super Regionals. When you think about the injuries and how much, you know, your workload was as a reliever, I was making a joke about it, Spencer Price, but you and him basically
It was literally Spencer Price and Riley every game.
It was just like you would hope Pilkington could get you into the fifth for two and Price for two, and we'll try to go from there.
That was it.
What was that team's dynamic like? Because you had so many guys on the shelf, and just kind of had to, you know, it was basically the same 15 guys.
It was crazy because, you know, with all the names we had on that team and the big star power, I guess you could say, even with all those injuries, we still had those names on the shelf. And it's like you come in freshman year and you're expecting, man, this is going to be the college experience. We're going to come out here, play my freshman year, and then you got all these guys going down. It's like, man, I wanted to believe that I had it to come in freshman year and take a role, but when that started happening, it became very obvious that somebody was going to have to step up. And, I mean, I could call Spencer Price right now, and we will talk about me and him being the 1-2 punch. That was the thing. And
30-something appearances.
I could tell people today, I was like, we played 62 games. I pitched in exactly half of them. So 31 appearances was not on my scorecard.
Was a true freshman, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and coming out of high school being a starter, and it's like, all right, now you're coming out of the bullpen with bases loaded most of the time, and it's like you either got to get up and go or not. So, you know, part of it was just trusting what I had. And mainly at that point, I was like, man, I got Jake Mangum behind me in center field. Outfield's covered.
Yeah.
I got Hunter Stovall at second. Infield's covered. So it was kind of just going out there and not even thinking about pitching, but just getting through it. And I think that's where it gets lost a lot of times. People try to press too much instead of just letting it happen.
And that regional, the 2017 regional in Hattiesburg, that's one that, you know, again, with all the trips to Omaha and everything else, that sometimes these regional wins get kind of lost in the shuffle. You lose that first game and you think, oh, with state's pitching staff, it's going to be tough to come out of the loser's bracket.
Right.
And that's exactly what you did. And you talk about heroic performances from Billingsley, Rooker with the home run there. I mean, it's just an incredible weekend in Hattiesburg.
Yeah, the things that got put together.
And don't forget the rain either.
Right. No, yeah. Can't forget about the dogs and rain delays, right?
Yes.
Don't ever put the dogs in a rain delay.
No.
To come out on the
no, you can't do it.
But
Canizera throwing the bats and
yeah,
dugout.
Got to wake them up somehow, right? But and you take all those years and a lot of those games get lost in the mix. It's like you know, Billingsley having the outing of his career out of nowhere and throwing a complete game, and it's like, who would have thought we would have been there, especially after losing the first game.
I'm pretty sure that's the last complete game in Mississippi State that's been thrown.
It might be.
There hasn't been one
for
since
a while.
Then, I don't think.
I
think it.
Especially
we talked about one earlier this year. I think Kyle Steven was in like the eighth, and
yeah.
Like, is this? We had to look it up.
Right. It was Billingsley.
Yeah. Seven,
or 18, maybe.
It was the Hattiesburg regional, right?
Yes, yeah, 17.
He might have thrown
LSU one. Super regional.
Yeah.
18, we were in
Tallahassee to
yes,
and then
so
Vandy.
17.
Yeah,
it might have been Vandy though. Did he throw one against Vandy?
I don't believe so.
He had a good game against Vandy.
He had a good game, but he didn't throw a complete game.
Because that Vandy Super Regional,
I was crazy.
To this day, I still mark it down as the greatest Super Regional.
Oh yeah,
to
ever. Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, two walk offs and then the crazy extra inning game.
Yep. I mean, you couldn't imagine it. I mean, I would like to give myself a shout out for getting us to those extra innings.
take the credit.
What I was going to ask you about, because I'm almost 100% positive you got the last out in Tallahassee.
I did. So,
if you remember, I mean, same thing as Hattiesburg, lost the first game.
Yeah.
We had to come all the way back.
20-10.
It was bad.
In the first game in Tallahassee.
And you come back, you get that last strikeout. And I was there. We had the stories written during that Florida State game. Mississippi State goes home, season over, whatever. And you know, McNamee does what he does.
Insane.
But for you, kind of getting that last out, I mean, I remember you pumping your fist and being really excited on the mound. I mean, what did that feel like for you, knowing where y'all came from to start that regional and getting the team to Super Regional?
You know, you can go back to that game that Elijah did hit the walk-off. The mindset there was that it wasn't over. And you can go back and ask a lot of teammates that were during that rain delay we were sitting in the I think the visitors weight room or something, the little weight room they have under the stadium there, and there was no stress. I mean, we were sitting there hanging out, having a good time watching TV together, and to come back out, and I still pitched. We had a 2.5 hour rain delay.
Yeah, it was
something like that. And I came out, I was in the game, and I came back out. And they asked me if I wanted the ball. It's like, you're not giving it to anybody else.
Mm.
And to get to that last game after losing the first one, being down to our last strike, the emotional roller coaster, I was just happy to get it done. And in that moment, it was more, I don't even know if it was more for me, but it was more for everybody, that what we had been through that year, what obstacles we had to overcome, even from the fall, and it was, everything had just built up to those two moments of him hitting the walk off and then us actually getting the last out and moving on. That was just the exclamation point on what had been a crazy year up to that point.
All right, so you're still in the game of baseball now, but you do it from the coaching or training perspective. Tell us about what you're up to.
So right out of state, I got into college coaching. I coached at a Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. Spent a year there. And jumping straight into the JUCO world is a crazy thing, and it definitely caught me by surprise. But I'm glad it happened because it woke me up into what the real world of baseball is. You know, you never, as a player, you never see the behind the scenes. Man, there's a lot that goes on there. And it's it was a good first experience. But right after that, I got hired at Union University up in Jackson, Tennessee, and actually got to coach under a 15-year MLB veteran, Casey McGee. It was his first year coaching, and we came into it together and tried to build something that hasn't been done at Union for a while. So I stepped away from that this past year just to kind of disconnect myself from the results of a game. I think I was still living my college baseball life through those kids. But, you know, I thought it wasn't fair to them for me not to be able to look at this kid and say, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, who am I to tell you that or put that weight on your shoulders? So I kind of just took a step away from the coaching part of it, and now on the recruiting side of it, I would see kids out of high school that, you know, weren't developed to what they should be. And it's like, just because nobody – I don't want to say didn't care, but didn't put in the time and the effort to what these kids really could be. So it's that's kind of my main goal now, especially in Central Mississippi, kind of give back to the area that gave to me. And train as many kids as I can, all the way from 8 years old to I'll even take college kids at this point to just try to keep them on a steady workload and get them on a throwing program, stuff like that. But just being able to not only coach just 15 to 20 kids, but be able to help 40 to 50 if I can. So just giving back to the game a little bit is kind of what we're trying to do around here.
How can people find you and get a chance to have their kids train with you?
So right now we're the way we're scheduling it, we do have a website that we are scheduling it with. We just started it, so I'm not gonna put it out there to have people do it yet, but right now we're just reaching out through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My phone number's out there in a couple places, so just really texting and trying to set up this schedule is kind of new to me right now. I just started, but this will be my second week going into it. So just trying to get the books filled, trying to keep kids happy and parents happy. So I'm sure a couple of them are loving taking their kids home and them crashing out at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. They don't have to worry about it anymore. But, no, it's been going good, man. Just trying to get as many as I can. Mostly people reaching out through Facebook, texting me, just simple things like that. Nothing too crazy.
Riley, appreciate you coming to see
Absolutely.
Us today. Always great to relive some glory days with the
Diamond
Dogs.
That's the truth.
Riley,
Magnolia Heights legend, which I think Billingsley is from Magnolia Heights too, and Dustin Skelt.
Oh, yeah. Me.
What a powerhouse.
Yeah. I mean, huge parts of the building in national championship.
Yeah. I never thought I'd get to play a year with Jacob Billingsley because I was a freshman when he was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
I played with him for 3. So. If that don't tell you where the college baseball works.
And also,
crazy.
Just to give him a plug, he's doing a lot of training too. Man, I've heard from kids that have trained with him that he is excellent.
He has, hands down, knowledge-wise about the biomechanics, the game of baseball and pitching. He's got one of the best facilities and the people surrounding him in North Mississippi right
now.
He's doing great things. And I appreciate what he's doing for our area back up there.
So. Yeah, and your old catcher, Dustin, is in the coaching profession.
Marshall Academy.
Man, had a great year this year. The team is really good.
State championship. Yep. He's turning around the program over there. He cares a lot. So,
what's that Rooker guy up to?
You know, just hitting home runs.
Yeah. Just throwing dingers.
You know, he's still hitting them barely over the fence.
Yeah.
Wall scrapers out there.
I'm telling you, some great – great baseball players came through. Brian said that was kind of the glory days. It might be. I mean, that group from 2016 to 2021 was one of the best, and you got a chance to be a part of most of those teams. So,
yeah, great stuff. Riley, appreciate your time.
Appreciate
you, man.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, At this time, I'd like to introduce a man who does need no introduction, but we're going to give him one anyway. Possibly the most important person in the Mississippi State internet world, and a man who has brought the Mississippi State On 3 site to prominence, Robbie Faulk's direct supervisor and the godfather, my cousin.
Oh,
hey. Oh, Steve Agostinelli, godfather.
I told Robbie I was going to say this. I did approve your vacation.
Oh, is that why I got one day off?
That's right.
Okay.
You get one day off unpaid.
Paul's taking a week off. I'm stuck at the site by myself dealing with, like, all the drama that's happened over there.
I texted him this morning. I was like, you've ruined the app. And he's like, can we have one day to just look at the app and let them work the kinks out?
I almost printed out an On 3 logo and put it over my Farm Bureau logo. But
all right. You and I have been doing this internet thing since 2000. That's 21 years, my friend. My cousin here.
After you got kicked off of a message board, apparently.
We were banned from a message board. And why were we banned, Stephen? For telling the truth.
Telling the truth.
We told the truth, and that was not acceptable to some.
What?
But you and I have made a career out of this, more or less.
You have made much more of a career out of it than I have.
I think you've made more money overall.
That's probably true.
Yeah. So,
this website, which, by the way, is now a part of the On 3 network. I just want to give that plug. If you would like to come visit this website.
It's this little website called On 3.
Yeah. This sparked your career, literally.
It did? It did.
Oh,
there's no getting around.
Well, and on top of that. Being negative on the message board during a terrible period of Mississippi State football.
I was not being negative. I was being realistic.
Has sparked his career. He's made a living out of it.
And then Stephen got the message from Wes Williamson that was like, hey, we're going to be doing this podcast thing. Would you be interested? And he had him, no, but my cousin might. And it just kind of went from there.
You remember when we did our first podcast?
The first This Is Our Show?
Yeah. And Brian was calling me by my posting.
Yeah, I was only referring to him as dog student.
And I was like, no, I can't do this.
Like, now he hates me.
I hated it then, but I was like, I understood at the time that maybe he did. But then he was like, man, everybody knows who I am.
And it was just sounded so stupid. I was like, no, we got
dog student.
Yeah.
Use my real name.
Yeah.
So dog student, what's your opinion on this year's recruiting class?
So was Scott Strickland our first guest?
I don't know.
Who was the first people
segment?
I think
we just had
Scott. Okay. It was Scott.
I don't know that he was on the first show, but he was our first guest.
I would pay money because I used to have all the links to the show.
Yeah.
And then.
Well, they don't exist anymore.
And they don't exist
anymore. We were talking about that earlier.
I should have downloaded them.
Yes.
So I could go back and listen.
Yeah, the old This Is Our Shows. I think Richard Cross still has the record for the longest interview we ever did.
He talked for the Egg Bowl?
He talked like an hour and 10 minutes. And I think we asked three questions.
That's how Brian got the job.
Richard likes to talk.
Richard is a talk. I think the first question was, so Richard, tell us about yourself. And he just went from there. We couldn't shut up. It's like, well, I got his whole life story.
He talked about his family
started.
Ford F-150 trucks that he owns.
Yes, one for each kid.
That's right.
So, and now, talk us through the transition from rogue internet website to now your website, sixpackspeak.com, is part of the On 3 network. How did those discussions go in? Without, I understand you can't talk too much family business. You know,
So 2012, you know, I don't know how much you
scoot up to the mic, Stephen.
Get into the technical aspect of this, but we were on the Youku network.
Youku.
You remember that?
Who could forget? Who could forget the coup?
Super Coup's Day.
Super
Coup's Day. So at that point, we were trying to decide what to do, and 24/7 had just started.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a year old. And I think Paul had moved from Bulldog Junction to.
We talked about that.
To 24/7.
Don't speak of the junction.
The junction.
And Shannon Terry reached out to me and talked to me about coming over. Now, looking back, I probably should have done it, but I think it worked out in the end. But at that point, so we did an independent site, which was using some software, message board software.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got tired of doing the updates and the technical work for it.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Shannon, I guess, in August of 22.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about upgrading message board software. And if we could just join On3 and be the free message board of On3, I'd be willing to do it. And then it worked out from there. And
mm-hmm.
We started in October.
Yeah.
of I was like September 29th of 22.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, we were the free message board, and then Robbie and Paul joined.
Yeah.
A year or so later, and
you made them part of the family.
That's right.
It was like a year and a half long process.
Yeah.
I don't know when y'all's discussion started.
It was the same time.
Okay.
So. Yep. We actually started talking before that.
Okay.
And then we talked about, you know, it'd be cool if we did, because I knew that you had done that.
Yeah.
Had that relationship before. It'd be cool to kind of join forces or whatever. And they started, because they could start pretty much whenever. We had contracts, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I think it was a great, great idea.
It's now part of the largest growing Mississippi State online fan base.
That's right.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
This new website.
We got to tell the story. He's not here to defend himself, but we got to tell the story of a Bulldog Strong Ale.
Oh,
do you know the story?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to tell it out loud. So we found this logo for Bulldog Strong Ale. It was just a bulldog. It says Bulldog Strong Ale. We were like, that's cool.
Six pack.
It works. We're going to put that on the website. And so it was there. And then one day we get an email from Newcastle Brewing Company saying you're using our logo, because you were selling t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
You're using our logo to make money.
At that point, we were not. It was just on the website.
Just on the website.
Just
okay.
On the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you have to cease and desist or we're going to sue. And, you know, we're just like,
what?
What?
Like, what do we do?
Like, we are literally. So we called a friend of ours who's a lawyer here in the Jackson area. And he was like, I can fix this. Don't worry about it. And he crafted a response. We sent it to Newcastle. And to our utter amazement, they were like, yeah, that's fine. They're like, you can keep using it for free. It's no big deal. We agreed to hold you. If somebody sues us, we won't include you on the lawsuit. You're blameless. Yeah. Fast forward about a decade, I guess, maybe longer, and a certain good friend and host admitted, Steve Robertson, that he was the one who tipped off Newcastle.
Hey, I can't believe Steve Robertson's vindictive. I'm shocked that guy.
Why didn't that make the book?
Yeah,
that's my question. That should have had a whole book about how Six Pack tried to ruin him. God, that was so funny.
It was funny. I'll be honest. Six Pack would have never probably have kept going if Brian didn't convince me.
Because I had nothing to lose. I was working at Papa John's. So, I was like, what do I care?
Our first 30 days in it, we're getting sued. Allegedly.
We're getting threatened.
To sue.
Yeah.
People were threatening to sue
all
us.
Four paws was all up in our business.
We had a banker in the Delta.
Frank Jr., don't forget Frank.
There was just so much that was getting fed to us. Y'all got to stop this. And just because.
Because we just happened to say, you know, I don't think Coach Cheryl's going to turn this around.
No.
And then it just went from there.
Wow. No, that's the same thing that's happening right now to us, pretty much.
It's funny how something, the more things change in the internet world, the more they stay the same.
The only thing Coach Lemonis has going for him, I'm assuming that's what you are talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He has a national championship.
He does have a national title.
No, so that's,
and they haven't won 2-10.
He's talking about getting threatened.
Now, that does happen.
Yes.
That does happen. So, you never know.
So being negative.
You never know who's going to drive the bus up here and give you a threat or anything like that.
In two ways.
So, 20 of them. You and I both know that when we started this thing, we were just like, it's just a fun. The reason it started was because I was coming home from work to 50, 60 emails a day of just you guys arguing about Mississippi State sports. And I was like, I can't deal with this.
And this is the funniest.
Because we used to argue on emails.
Yeah, right. Because we couldn't argue on Gene's page because we would get banned.
And the funniest thing was is that you had, I guess, a Hotmail account.
Hotmail.
And the max number of messages was 100.
Yeah.
And he would always be maxed out. He was like, guys, like I can't check this during the day because of my job.
Yeah.
And
this is before you had email on your phone.
Brian said, and I just said, I think I asked. I was like,
yeah.
Let's just start a message board.
Yeah.
And we went. It went from there.
It was a six pack, but there was like 10 of us.
Yeah.
And then we started doing the whole, okay, this guy, he agrees with us more often than not. Let's bring him in. And then it was DeSoto County Dog and Travis. And then I'm going to assume we invited Schmooley at some point. We just don't know who that guy is. So, the rabbi.
Yeah, I don't know if he was a member of. I never remember him on 247, but he is over there with us.
He is he was a very six pack loyal poster.
Yeah.
And now, he's made the trip over.
He
Dog at Auburn.
Dog at Auburn is one, and for sure.
Old Brutus.
Oh, God, that guy. And then Old Blue.
Old Blue.
Old Blue was a six pack. He's in the first 20 for sure. Yeah.
The Old Blue.
The Old Blue.
The Kentucky fan.
Who's
a Mississippi State fan.
Bark Simpson.
That's right.
Remember him? Mutt the Hoople, of course.
Mutt the Hoople.
The legend, Mutt the Hoople.
You know what's funny is you say these names, I know most of their real names.
Yeah, I do. I do know. I know a lot of their real names. And of course, you know, the original six-pack, of which what's really funny to me is, like, of that original group, Squint, Cracker, Cuz, Quit Begging, none of those guys post anymore.
No, life got in the way.
Yeah, they started. They actually found a life. Unlike you and I, we kept we stayed on there.
Well, so. You guys have no life. This is
it turned into our life. Yeah,
and we got financial gain from it, which is a reason to stay in something.
That's why you get into business.
That's right. You know?
Well, I mean, a lot of these people want to escape life.
Yeah,
by coming to message board and living their.
So this
persona.
Is what I talk about a lot, and it's less for you, but like. When we're in our group texts with the guys, like, all we're talking about is MSU sports, and that's my job. So it's like, imagine if we just went in there and I just started talking about insurance. That's, you know, it's like, that's what I deal with, like, all the time. There was a time during the Leach's first year when we had COVID going on, so nothing good's happening in the world, and state was so bad, I actually just stopped checking that group text for like a week. Sometimes I was just like, I can't. Every day, it's like, we are so terrible. It's like, I need to have something.
I don't know how y'all do it, because when state is struggling, I can step back. Like, I don't have to read or check message board.
Right. I don't have that choice.
But y'all going to talk it every day.
And then,
that's a struggle.
At nighttime, when I go on the message board, especially when I go on that baseball portal thread right now, I just want to do anything.
That is my daily dose of serotonin. I laugh so hard every day.
Every time I open that thread, I start sighing. I'm like, here we go. Oh boy,
who'd we miss on today?
Yeah, who said no today?
I'm just anxiously awaiting somebody else's tweet about a kid
when
going
Zach
somewhere else.
Is blessed to go to Auburn. That's going to be like okay. So
oh boy,
I mean, is this have you kind of reached the pinnacle? Like, is this what else is there left to do with six pack speak?
As far as I want to take it.
Yes.
I mean, the next
level. Now the family business. Sam will take it
That's
over.
That's correct.
He's the next generation.
the next level would be to be with a network.
Yeah.
Actually run the site, but that's why they're there.
Yeah.
So to me, this is as far as I want to take it. It is for sale. If somebody wants to buy it, you're more than welcome to. I will sell it tomorrow.
Godfather@sixpackspeak.
That's right. Email him.
Real quick, and then we'll get you out of here, because I know you want to eat.
What family's like waiting.
What's your doing? Everybody's got their favorite six pack poster. You know, something that's in the six pack remembers. Is it Trent Lott, or is it the logos?
The Trent Lott is just amazing.
It is the most unbelievable thing we ever did.
Literally broke the national story. Trent Lott's resigning.
Yeah,
but imagining the guy, Jacket Shelter,
legend,
going in, breaking into the athletic office. I'm assuming he was an athletic department employee as a student. And covertly going to the copy machine, copying these or scanning these in, and then posting them on Six Pack.
Yeah.
To see the logos before they got let out.
That's my favorite breaking news. I've told the story about how we had Ryan Nelson call the LSU coaching office.
Jimbo Fisher.
About Jimbo Fisher.
Yep. And no, when he called the head of officiating and asked for
He and I both did that.
Okay.
We called. I talked to the office at the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10. I got the Pac-12 guy on the phone to ask him a question.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, he talked to the guy at the SEC. Ryan.
Ryan did. That was for something. That was for football.
What was his name? Do you remember his name?
I know you're talking. I know his name.
Yeah.
Steve Shaw?
No.
No, it was before that. It was before that.
Oh, the really old official that got out of it and was I know exactly what you're talking
about. We did that, and then the thing with the cheetah to get Joe Moore.
Oh, my God. I was unbelievable. When the guy was in the car, and he heard somebody.
Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, the crazy thing is, speaking of the cheetah, because the way it kind of
went
viral was because of social media.
Yeah.
And going back to that, Six Pack would have never started if Twitter would have been around.
Because you could just talk on Twitter.
Because you could talk on Twitter.
That wasn't message board geniuses, was it? That wasn't around then.
No, yeah, I don't think so, no.
How did that get out?
Dan Wolf
retweeted. Somebody sent it to him.
Oh.
And I almost believe it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not, but
I want to believe it.
I want to believe
and
it.
Then,
such a great
for
it's
humor.
It's got to be.
Derek. PJ087 with the GTO and the banana.
The Clemson fan.
The Clemson fan. Yeah. So good. And, I mean, how can we forget, the rest in peace, the Nils, the circus performer. legendary moments in internet history.
I don't know why he came on there. I can't remember the reason.
It was just back when every now and then we would just get this random, like, somebody had done a search and just they were like, oh, they're talking about something here. Let's go.
And then
he just wanted feedback.
One of our posters from Vicksburg ran with it and was just like complimenting him.
Like, it's incredible.
On his pole technique.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a play on words.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was one of the funnier things.
Oh, gosh.
And the guy was coming back at him. Yeah, I appreciate
you. Yeah, he worked really hard on them.
Yeah, he did.
The guy was like from Denmark. And then we found out he ended up dying.
He died.
Oh, like 2 years later.
They were like, I remember the post, they were like, you're not going to believe this. He died.
He died in a pole accident.
He died. So. May the message board wars continue forever. They have provided us 20 years of entertainment. Stephen Agostinelli, sixpackspeak.com on 3 Sports. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Always fun to talk to the people who own these great restaurants we get to go to. Cole Page, you own the Fan and Mark. Family-owned restaurant. I love a family-owned restaurant. Yeah. You know the food's going to be good when it's family-owned.
Yeah, it's good, man. Me and my 2 older brothers own it.
Mm-hmm. How long?
Well, we took it over probably about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been in business since 1972.
This is one of those places that I drive past it. You know, my mom used to live in Vicksburg, so I come down 25 or I go to work or whatever here in Jackson to come to Super Talk. I've driven past this place 1,000 times. It's the first time I've ever been here.
Yeah.
And yet, judging by the crowd, I'm the one who's not smart.
Yeah,
because I should have been here the whole time. And now you're going to see me more often because whenever I make the trip, I'm going to come down and eat here. What is the mission of the Fan and Mark? Because I see country vittles. When I see the word vittles, that's another good sign that the food's going to be good in there.
Yeah, it's just to provide good customer experience, good food, you know, old-fashioned, good country southern food.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk out of here, we kind of want you to go home, take a nap. You know, it's that type of
food. I got to go to work after this, Cole.
You know, just, you can power through it.
I'm going to have to.
Power through it.
You mentioned to me earlier, y'all were not a fried catfish place until recently.
Yeah.
Y'all were baked catfish.
Yeah, so we do a lot of baked catfish. You know, we've done fried catfish in the past, and it's nothing new to us, but really we started hitting it back up again probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and it's been a hit, man. People have been coming for them. You know, it's usually on Fridays when we have the fried catfish. It's a good product.
Well, I was going to say, they have the sign right out there on the door says, we proudly serve Superior catfish. What is it about Superior that made them want to be your catfish of choice?
Man, it's just the consistency of them. You know what you're going to get with them. There's never a bad fish that comes in. It's just good quality. You know, it fries good. It bakes good. You know, people love it. It's just a great product.
I promise you, we are not coaching these people what to say. Every single person says consistency.
It's the same word. I mean, it's consistent. Is that the word you want to use?
Yeah,
I would agree with that. We asked you if this was a big crowd, and you said, no, not really, because it's Bread Pudding Day.
Bread Pudding Day.
I'll just be honest with you. I'm excited by the prospect of Bread Pudding Day. Tell me about the bread pudding.
Man, it's just it's a recipe my grandmother came up with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask her for it, she's not going to tell you.
Do you know it?
I do not know it.
Oh, wow.
I do not know it.
So I just want to make this clear. This is your restaurant. You own it. You're serving it.
Yeah.
But if I said go make it for me, you'd be like, I got to call grandma.
No idea how to make it.
I assume somebody in the kitchen knows how to make it.
Okay. They know how to make it back there, but they're not telling it either.
That's just smart business is what that is.
You know, so that's like Bush's baked beans. way better.
What's grandma's name? What do we call grandma?
Barbara is her name.
So Barbara's bread pudding.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, I mean, you know what that is? You know what that is? That's $1 million idea. That's what that is.
Yep.
When you talk about restaurants, like, this is the backbone of the South, in my opinion. These little small family restaurants where you would never guess just from looking outside or looking where they are, and then you walk in and you get food as good as you can get anywhere in America. Fried chicken, I had 3 different people tell me to get fried chicken. I'm like, I'm going here for a fried catfish tour, but fried chicken. You know, Southern cooking is such a... It's so deep in our culture here. You know, do you feel that responsibility sometimes? Like, look, people come here to eat, and I put that stuff on the menu. When they see fried chicken and mashed potatoes and green beans, they have a certain standard they expect. We have to meet that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, living in the South, everyone knows everyone fries chicken.
Yeah.
Everyone knows how to do it. Everyone's grandmother does it better.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got a good product here. People, they come here for chicken and catfish. You know, it's funny. When I was in college, I was... of course, applying for restaurant jobs.
Yeah.
And during the interviews, they're like, have you ever had any experience? I was like, yeah, my family owns Fan and Mark. And you'd be surprised how many people are like, oh, yeah, Phantom Mart, we've done that place. So we definitely know you. You know what you're doing back here. So it's funny how you said small businesses just like this in the South.
Mm-hmm.
It is a responsibility because people know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's always a good feeling when you hear someone say that. And it makes you feel like you're doing a good job. Your family's been doing good for a while.
Yeah. So, well, I think we're done with the grueling work portion of the day. So we're going to go ahead and get some food ordered.
Gotcha.
And get to try what the Phantom Mart has to offer. Cole, thanks so much for having us
Appreciate you doing this.
Appreciate your relationship with Superior Catfish. We will be back next week.
Oh, no, sorry. Not that. No.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. There we're going to take the 4th of July off. We're going to do that. But we'll be back again. I want to thank everybody for coming out here today. Thank my cousin, Stephen Agustinelli. Thank Riley Self for joining us. It's got some folks here in the back from Super Talk. Our buddy Doug Kyle, who covers college baseball, is back there. So a lot of good folks come out to see us. Where's Rob Hathaway? He's been so many places.
He just got seated. He's ready to eat.
He's ready to eat. So that's our buddy. You know him from Twitter. A lot of our friends came out today, so we appreciate it. And we'll be back in 2 weeks on the Superior Catfish Tour. Thanks, guys.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.